swings and pops it up. Shallow left, Baez out. He makes the catch. His error proves not to be costly. And the Detroit Tigers take game one of this American League Wild Card Series.
Now, it's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy! Light him up, Colin!
Russo and Rizzo, a Tuesday edition, last day of September as we kick off the MLB postseason. Miami Dolphins played in one of the two doubleheaders last night, or one of the doubleheader last night on Monday Night Football. They took a victory. Now the Jets are winless. Miami finally back in the win column. They lost Tyreek Hill in the process. We'll get into that in just a couple moments. It's Colin Russo and Mike Rizzo and Christian Catt. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Hope everybody's having a wonderful afternoon as we got a packed weekend week of baseball to look forward to. You get games all day today, including the Pirates and the Padres and the Cubs, which are on right now. You got a great Yankee Red Sox matchup with Crochet and Freed on the mound at 6:08. You had the Guardians, who just fell in game one at home of the wild card series to the Detroit Tigers, a team that they had beaten basically six times in the last 2 weeks. And they dropped game one 2-1, had a couple opportunities there with a man on third and could not convert. Mike Rizzo is joined alongside me with Christian Catt. We are at the City Place Studios in downtown West Palm Beach, where we got you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.3. Speaking of ESPN 106.3, you want to talk about champions? Florida Panthers. Palm Beach County, listen up. Florida Panthers hockey is a new home, and it's right here on ESPN 106.3. We are now the new home of Panther hockey, with the season just starting in just about a week. You could download the ESPN South Florida app today. You can listen to every single game at your fingertips of the Florida Panthers' quest for a three-peat. Know they got a couple injuries, but looking ahead, they are by far the best depth in the National Hockey League, and they are looking to accomplish some of the impossible and getting three in a row. Lots to look forward to there. First team since the Islanders to do it. If there's anybody that can do it, it's the Florida Panthers. So looking forward to that. Make sure to stay connected with us on social media, ESPN West Palm, as we're going to have a ton of Panther coverage for you for the next couple of months here as we kick out our football, our hockey season. Road to the three-peat is now, ESPN 106.3. Mike, we'll get into your Guardian stuff a little later on. How do you feel really quickly, though?
Got it. I didn't want to face him. I didn't want to face the Tigers as I knew what loomed, and that was Tarek Skubal. I've seen a lot of great pitchers as an Indians fan. That guy is unbelievable. 14 strikeouts. Granted, we don't have the best lineup. 236 batting average.
Not a great hitting team. There's no doubt about that.
But, I mean, Skubal, you just tip your cap. It's one of those things you got to tip your cap and hope your team could show up in a big spot. But I'm gutted, man. And you had the stat. Give me the stat again so I could sit on it again with the teams.
Since the new playoff format was expanded in 2022, so only a couple of years of this, teams that have won game one of the wild card series, 12-0.
So it's over.
I wouldn't say
Kyle,
that.
Kyle, so it's over?
I wouldn't say that.
I'm like, it's so Cleveland. It's so Cleveland to go on this fantastic run and then to just, you know, get there and here we are. And it's like, I should be happy, right? I should be happy that the Guards made the playoffs. Like, what a season. You know, another banner, another division title. But like, it's like, oh, man, it's just such our city to show up in a spot like this and to probably get bounced by the team that you owned for the entire year. But, you know, I know we got plenty of other stuff to talk about, Kyle, but I'm gutted, mate. I really am. That was a tough watch. The Hosey being a third and botching the run. And brother, if you're going to run, run. I saw Clinton Yates. Clinton Yates was talking about this on X. You could listen to him on ESPN 106.3, Clinton and Friends. Clinton says, if you're going to go, go. Like, go and slide and try to be safe. And like Hosey, he went back to third.
That was the thing that didn't sit well with me.
And then
on a blooper to the pitcher, don't leave the bag.
And then last thing, like, you know, Valera striking out with no outs, runner on third, uncompetitive at bat. And then Manzardo, who was uncompetitive all game long, he went There were runners in scoring position. He struck out on three pitches earlier in the game. And then he had that. Just put the ball in the air.
And you can't knock Gavin Williams, who had a good outing. Great.
The big rig was amazing. Pitching was not the issue. Cade Smith, I mean, they were all great.
Yeah, that's the problem. You give up two runs. All right. I mean, you deal with that. You take that.
You do, and we had every opportunity in the ninth inning to tie the game and prolong the game and get into their bullpen, and Colin, it just didn't happen. And I'll wrap this up by the 12-0 thing is, wow.
That's
just staring down the barrel.
I would be
that's
concerned,
just,
too.
That's just,
now, you're going against Casey Mize and Jack Flaherty the next two games. I wouldn't say that necessarily. It's not murderer's row of the pitching
for
staff.
For sure. And Tanner Bibee and company have been good for the guards. Yeah, he's going to go
out. You're not going to see Skubal again.
Yeah.
But there's going to be a little bit of a regroup here
for
because
sure.
now you drew blood.
The momentum's gone, too. The momentum's gone. You know, you had all that momentum heading in with the home run by Urokio a couple of days ago. It's gone. But thanks for checking up on me. Appreciate the vent session here. But I know we got other things to get into. It's I'm absent. And, you know, Christian, the Yankee fan that he is, playing the highlight of the final out.
Couldn't even look at me.
I couldn't.
Jeez Louise. You would have thought I said some heinous things like people were doing Warren McElroy.
I got in trouble with HR Anna. I'm not happy with myself about that. I'm ready for the automated. I'm ready.
You should add some context.
Yeah.
So Anna Hag is our fantastic teammate here at ESPN 106.3. And she's a part of the HR department. She does a great job. She does a great job. And
not about her, about what you did.
I might have lost my mind on the umpire who, by the way, the umps in that game were some of the worst I've ever seen.
Even the getting the play wrong at the plate, you know, tying run.
I'm here in West Palm Beach on a 35-second delay, and I knew he was safe, but somehow, some way,
the guy standing over him and he missed the call. That was bad.
And then, to be fair, Skubal was getting squeezed as well. Detroit was getting squeezed. The guards are getting squeezed. I'm ready for the automated. I'm done with having be. I tweeted having be glorified babysitters. I'm all done with the umps, dude. They had every chance to make up for their horrible mistakes.
It did not cost you.
It didn't, but at the same time, it could have. All right, it could have cost Detroit the game. On the flip side, too, I want things to be fair. But
so, what happened to your HR folder?
Yeah, so I backed full
demerit
swing.
Did you get
with HR Anna? When a strike that should have been a ball was called a strike, I lost my mind and might have said an explicit, and Anna had to walk over and give me a proper scolding.
Right. Not as bad as it could have
been. Not bad. And I forgot, like, Kyle, you know my lair, my dungeon. You know, no one could hear me in my dungeon, but I was in the kitchen. So, like, I wasn't thinking or whatever. I texted her on the side. I apologize. She forgave me. But I got scolded by HR, and my team didn't show up in a big spot. Typical Cleveland today. But, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Classic Cleveland people getting in trouble with HR.
Yeah. Probably.
Wow.
So yeah, but dead. I'm hurt. I'm hurt. Brother, I'm hurt today. I'm really hurt today. You needed a win.
It's game one.
It doesn't matter.
You know what's funny?
12-0.
If you guys win tomorrow, you're going to come in here and say, you know, build the statue, you know, let's get my ring fit. My ring finger fit for the championship ring.
I know how this goes. And like the 1 o'clock, I know we're Cleveland, but 1 o'clock, mate, can we stop with this?
You're not making a lot. You're not going to make sense of this. You're not going to win.
We had 26,000 people at the stadium today because no one could get off of work on a Tuesday.
So saying, no one cared enough.
You're saying overlap it enough.
Yeah. Give us 4 o'clock or something. Like, let people get out of work. I was honestly, people were
do
like
4 or 5 and then like
I
six
thought it,
and
I
six
thought it was
eight.
A great crowd for 1 o'clock. Honest to God. I really thought it was a
totally
great crowd.
A good crowd. You didn't sell out
for 1 o'clock.
Who would have expected that?
That's what I mean.
But you should be happy. Like it was this window. You wouldn't be able to watch the game with your full attention.
Yeah, you might be on it, but I'm just looking out for everyone else. Who cares about me? You know, I should be focusing on the Dolphins and Tyreek Hill. You know, I'm the only loser in this office that's rooting for the Guardians right now, you know, so it's all right.
Well, you don't like the 1 o'clock. The problem is you're not going to win that because
I'd rather have two games at 7.
ESPN has exclusivity. Putting a game on ESPN 2. They're not going to double up on ABC and ESPN.
I get it. But
so
it's just
you're not going to win that one.
Dude.
And they're not putting Yankees Red Sox at 1 p.m. on a Tuesday. That I can promise you. That's going to get prime time.
No, but
and you're not going to put the Dodgers, you know, first pitch 9 a.m. local time. You're not doing that either.
It's over, boys. It's over.
Because I know you, dude. I know if and when they win tomorrow. You're going to come in and you're going to be asking to, you know, you're going to get your ring finger sized up.
The mojo's gone.
Mike, you're forgetting the important part. You're playing an AL Central team. If anything can make another AL Central team look good, it's a fellow AL Central team. If this was a team in the AL East, sayonara. You know, you can make plans for Thursday right
Guards
now.
Guards played good against the AL East this year. But, I don't know,
the one
man.
Thing I'll say is the Tigers have lost, what, four? I mean, they've won like four of their last 20 games. Like, they've been awful.
I'd rather have seen, I was telling Collins.
You got them at their best because you got the pitcher at his best. Now you play the real Detroit. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily call fire yet, because if there's a team that could blow this and be the 12 and 1, it could be Detroit.
I'd just rather have seen anybody but that team. Like, and I know the AL East is. I'd rather have seen the Yankees in the first round than the Tigers at this. No, We've seen them too many times,
Mike,
guys.
You would have mentally defeated that. You did mentally defeat that team. Like, they should have been dead in the sewer.
And then Scooble, you know, throws 14 strikeouts and uncompetitive at bat by J-Rod and Junk and Zardo. It's just like.
So you think that one game can erase all the momentum and the wind in the sails?
Correct.
15.5
It's Cleveland.
Deficit?
Okay, Christian, that's Cleveland in a nutshell. That's Maybe. Cleveland in a nutshell.
The one thing about postseason baseball is it could turn on a whim, but I don't think you're dead here. I don't. Because the Tigers can't hit. Yeah, Cleveland can't hit.
We can't hit.
Detroit can't hit either.
We can't
hit. So there's something to that.
They hit better than us. 236, Kyle. We're since 1906.
Yeah, but the Tigers cannot hit. So I wouldn't necessarily call complete fire yet. And number two, I would definitely not want to play the Yankees or the Red Sox right now. I'm okay.
And anybody
Seattle is rejoicing that they get to play the winner of this series comparatively.
It's just like you've seen them so many times. That was the fifth start Scooble made against us this year.
Yeah, and nine times out of ten, that favors the offense. That favors the offense. Yeah. Just seeing the guy multiple times in that short of a period. So I wouldn't necessarily call fire. We'll get into the rest of the MLB slate. You got the Padres and the Cubs going at it right now. We'll get you updates as we move further along in the show. The Miami Dolphins last night in the first of the two ESPN broadcasted games. You had the Dolphins take a win over the Jets pretty convincingly, 27-21. Game was not as close as the score indicates. They had... I'll say it, the B team of the guys broadcasting the game, where you could tell that they're just, you know, told, all right, Lewis Riddick was good. Orlovsky, good. Like, all right, you guys, Chris Fowler, get out there, go have some fun. That was the feel. I mean, the broadcast stunk.
I didn't like it either, but that's what happens on these doubleheaders.
Those doubleheaders are a waste of time.
And that's
because you had Buck and Aikman sitting through that godforsaken game, and even Aikman in the third quarter was thinking, this is one of the worst games I've ever watched.
Right, and that's what happens when you have Jake Browning and a backup quarterback on the road against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
And if you're the Miami Dolphins, you're thinking, all right, we got a win. We're finally in the win column, but we all almost suffered a bigger loss than we did acquire a win. And losing Tyreek Hill for the foreseeable future, maybe forever. So he had a gruesome knee injury in that first drive of the third quarter, where he dislocated his knee, tore a bunch of ligaments. We're not going to be seeing him for a while, at least 12 months. So there's no doubt about that. And there's also now implications in terms of what you do with him and what you do with him eventually, because I would, if there were odds to it, I don't know if there are, I would put money on he is not going to play another game for the Miami Dolphins for the rest of his career.
I probably would agree with that. And listen, that injury was horrible. And I hope Tyreek.
Yeah, you got to feel bad because that's a brutal spot.
That was the first thing I thought. Like, I couldn't even stomach it. Like, I could not even stomach looking at that Tyreek Hill injury. I do wonder, though, Colin, was he so big of a distraction that this might be, like, good for the locker room?
He was playing well in the game.
He was.
They're going to miss him.
But I went back and forth. You know, my good buddy Doc Al over at Men's Only Medical, we were texting. He was at the game last night. He goes, Riz, you know, he is a distraction. He goes, I don't know how to feel about this. And he brought up a good point because, like, I don't know, could this free up Jaylen Waddle? They have other players on that offense who are, you know, pretty good. How about Darren Waller? Christian, throw on some Darren Waller, man. I need to hear some of those bangers he was coming out with the last 2 years. Guy, two touchdowns last night.
Yeah, good game.
Cue the music, man. Yeah. But I don't know where to sit on the Tyreek Hill thing. I think it could be good for the team. And to your point, he played fantastic last night, and he's still probably a good player when fully healthy. So I think there's two sides of the coin you got to look at when it comes to the Hill injury. And I'm interested to see how it affects the locker room.
You think there's an argument that the team might be a little better off?
Maybe. That's it. We all know the distraction he can be. That's all I'm saying. Did he play good the last 2 weeks? Absolutely. Had a good game against the Bills, and he had 6-for-67 in the first half before he went down with injury. So I hear all that. I just go back to the stuff off the field. him complaining when in the locker room when things aren't going right. So, you know, 888-760-3776. If you're a Dolphin fan, how do you feel about the Tyreek Hill injury? Because I'll listen to both sides of the argument right now.
888-760-3776. What do you make of him smiling, laughing, and making a scene on the card, getting carted out in the third quarter?
His leg was pointed north. So, like,
I've never seen anything like that. That was very bizarre.
Ever. And, like, that's why I don't want to say I give him the benefit of the doubt, but, like, I don't think his
you
head
imagine,
was...
Yeah, he should shock, delirious, who knows?
I don't know if his head was in the right space. I've never, thankfully, have had an injury like that or dealt with anything like that. Actually, I did have a compound fracture in the arm, but not like that, okay? Not like that. I wouldn't put much stock into that. You're probably on the
other
side.
I could see it thinking that, like, that was his goodbye.
Maybe. Who's going to take on that contract?
It doesn't matter in his head. You think he's thinking about contract logistics right now with his knee in the other direction on a cart?
He could sit there and say that stuff, but, like, in the end of the day, this, you know, who's going to take on the per year money that Tyreek Hill is making a year?
The thing is, it's weird because he's 31 years old. He'll be 32, 33 when he comes back. He might be 32 now, but he is not young. And this is a dangerously difficult injury to come back from, especially as somebody who's a speedster, relies on his explosion. And now you're going to have basically reconstructive leg surgery. You're not going to be ready for training camp. So there's number one. And you're going to be sort of on an uphill battle all the way back to getting to where you were, even if you could get back to where you were. I'm not saying this is the end of what we'll see from him. I still think he definitely will have something to give if he's able to play this injury comeback the right way. But maybe it's shock. Maybe he said he was just trying to keep the adrenaline up, and that's why he was cheering and everything like that. I've never seen it from any other player, so I have a hard time seeing. Maybe he's just that one of one that likes to, you know, just kind of juice him up, keep the pain subsided. But I'm under the impression he didn't like playing for the Dolphins towards the end of that tenure.
No.
He didn't like playing for them, and he... You know, came in, came out, Tua's talking about his relationship every 5 seconds. There clearly was a major disconnect in terms of what the Dolphins want, what Tyreek wants. Tyreek probably wants to be, you know, the stats and the accumulation. He didn't have that last year. And the Dolphins, on the other hand, are just trying to, you know, pick up all their cards because they're in complete disarray. Yeah. So I don't know if maybe I'm putting too much stock.
I mean, it could have been the final
him
act.
Making a scene purposely. But I was very thrown off by him making all those gestures and the cheering and the smiling on the cart on the way out.
He is under, that's who he is though, right? That's my pushback. That's kind of who Tyreek Hill is, but that could have been his final act. Absolutely. Could have been his final act in a Dolphins uniform, playing pretty well in the first half and then suffering a terrible injury, you know? And that's why I'm thinking
very
like,
bizarre. I don't know if that really is just the shock and trying to keep all the focus away from what you're doing. Maybe. I've just never seen that before.
It's a little odd, though. And we all are. We all are a little odd in our own ways.
A guy gets carted out once a week, and we never see that. So that's just the first I've seen of it, which is why I thought of that, because of all the disconnect that there is between the team and the player.
I just, if the Dolphins do end up moving on to him, and I know this is conversations for down the line, I'm really interested to see the teams that would be interested after the 12-month recovery.
But you're under the impression, post-win, no more Tyreek Hill for the rest of the year.
Could be good.
You think that the Dolphins might be better off at the end of the 17-game season comparatively to having him the whole way?
Could be good. Could be good. Is he the best receiver in the room? Probably. But I think things could open up for Jalen Waddle, who's solid, I think, game in a game out. Now, 3 for 48, not necessarily something that you're writing home about, but I think he had a good game against Buffalo. He has timely catches. I don't know. I just think this could start opening up. And you finally saw the Dolphins run the ball well last night, too.
A-Chain
finally had a good game.
Because of how bad the Jets were.
I mean, they beat themselves. Let's call a spade. The Jets beat themselves with the fumbles at the goal line.
It started with that first drive, and then after that fumble at the goal line, they had a 90. The Dolphins turned around, had a 95-yard drive. I don't care who you are. That's a professional football team you're talking to. That definitely is a positive to take away from that.
But
I think the Jets really were. That was probably the worst effort, and that's probably worse than what they did against Buffalo.
It was, and for someone like Justin Fields, who's trying to win a team over to be maybe a long-term solution.
It's just not good.
It's just
not any good.
But, like, you look at the stats, the guy only had 7 incompletions for 226 and a touchdown through the air and an amazing 43-yard touchdown run. He just has a I don't want to say it's mentally, there's blocks or whatever, but like you can't do the fumbles.
I have not
turnovers.
Even, yeah, right. The turnovers are bad.
It's always
the
been
rushing
like that.
Attack was going to be defensively too. They've taken so many steps back.
Well, Sauce Gardner was blaming referees after games. It's very odd.
Okay, and Aaron Glenn. I mean, you can't knock him. It's four games into his tenure, but you could judge him on a game by game basis. I mean, when you're doing what Mike says, the chicken dances and making a big scene and calling your players out 1 week, then commending them after a loss. It's two left and right. It's two left and right. And I'm not an Aaron Glenn guy because I didn't like how he handled the end of that Detroit season last year, you know, talking to teams and then going out there, giving up 50 points and then moving on with your life. But I would sit here and say that the Jets are in a really bad spot because that team, I was wrong on about that. I thought they'd compete yesterday. And you know what? They somewhat did. They just couldn't get out of their own way. But that's probably the worst team in the league. That team is worse than Carolina. That team is worse than the Dolphins. That team is the Titans. The Titans are better than the Jets. And
Hold on. Are we sure about that?
I do. Okay. I think so.
We're there.
I think
they've played better games. The Jets have played better games comparatively. They've been in games. Right. That's my pushback. But
if you and you're right, the Jets have been on 1 week, off the other week, on 1 week, off the other week. They haven't necessarily put it together consistently. But now that you're 0-4, that's already getting the veterans' heads out of a rut from a head coaching perspective to begin with. But maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, Tennessee, they're all bad. Miami's bad too. Miami's not any good, but
they almost blew the game.
Yeah.
They almost blew the game.
The
somehow.
Jets are in a really bad spot. They're in a really bad spot. Now, the good news is you're not changing anything. So you're at least going to see everything that's going to happen again next year, most likely, unless things really go awry. And the good news is on top of that, is of the top teams that are likely going to be around the top picks in the NFL draft, them and New Orleans are the only teams that pop out. We need a quarterback above all else.
Yeah.
And that's probably where the Jets are going to go.
God, you mentioned New Orleans. They might be the worst.
Yeah, they might be the worst.
There are a lot of bad teams.
Yeah, we might have dodged them.
There are a lot of bad teams. But quickly back to the Jets showing up so many. So it's why it's important to win. When you're a bad team like that, it's why it's important to win at least one of those games.
When you get the steal game, you got to steal.
Yeah, you got to do it. And that's, as a Brown fan, God, I'm beyond happy that they beat the Packers because I don't see a win on the schedule right now with Joe Flacco being the quarterback. Now, the rumor is Gabriel's going to start, but regardless, like, when you're a bad team like that, you got to be able to take advantage of games that you're in, and the Jets haven't been able to do it. And Glenn's going to get the full season. Like, and I know that's not what you're saying, Colin.
No, there's no issue.
It's not what you're saying, but like, you do want to see the team turn the corner. You do want to see the team win one of these close games and make you feel confident about the head coach moving forward. And right now, the thing that is just permafrosted in my head about the Jets is the chicken dance he pulled in Tampa Bay. I don't think he realized Tampa Bay had the two timeouts and a minute 23 left on the clock, but I still think that was one of the more funnier things I saw in the NFL season, so fair play to him.
Say Suzuki had a solo shot to tie things up at Wrigley Field against the San Diego Padres. 1-1 on ESPN. ESPN's got the games all day. You got Red Sox-Yankees at 6:08. Bottom five for the Padres and the Cubs over at Wrigley. We got to rank the teams. We'll do our NFL, or our college football, power rankings coming up on the other side of things post Week 5. Stay tuned for it. It's presented by Google Week Moving and Storage. That's coming up next on Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Getting born in the state of Mississippi.
Papa was a copper and a mama was a hippie. In Alabama. All right, now a couple weeks in, college football, we finally have a true feel of these teams because you had a bunch of conference games over the weekend. You're getting these guys finally in the thick of things and finally playing tough opponents. Penn State is one of them. Good Greek Moving and Storage. Let's make our rankings of the week. First, I got to tell you, go download the Hard Rock Bet app today because Hard Rock is the place to be if you want to bet on the Guardians to win game two, huh, Mike?
Yeah, and they're going to be dogs, and dogs are barking all weekend long and throughout the week with their good friends at Hard Rock. See which underdogs bettors are backing in the Hard Rock Bet Discover page. And folks, you hear me talk about the Discover page all the time. Whatever team I'm looking for, sport I'm looking for, go to the Discover page and type it into the search bar. It's going to immediately pop up for you. That's on the Hard Rock Bet app. And guys, stop betting blind. Start betting smart. The Hard Rock Bet Stats Hub has all the info you need before locking in your play. Red hot streaks, latest line movements, and the trends that actually matter. Today's stats caught me off the eye, folks, with the Guards and the Tigers. I thought it, when you're specifically looking at these baseball games, when it comes to the stat hubs, you got to see who's pitching. And I always use who is pitching to determine who I think is going to win the games. Like Colin mentioned, Crochet is going to be on the mound for the Red Sox tonight. Freed's going to be on the mound for the Yankees. Which starter do you like better? Take advantage of that stat hub on Hard Rock Bet. And folks, the party is always on. You're all on the guest list. If you sign up and bet $5 on any game, you also get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Get that win streak started with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in the state of Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's 1-888-ADMIT-IT.
Well, post week five, we're on the onset of week six of the college football season. It's time for us to figure out who our top 10 is going to be. Let's do a little college football top 10 rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Went from unranked to the 14th team in the country.
They were more motivated going into that game.
Who's moving down?
Can they have a good season after this? Maybe.
It's time for Russo and Rizzo's College Football Top 10 Poll. Presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage. Your superhero movers.
All right, Kyle, let's get us going on our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage with number 10.
Let's establish a couple things here. Is Georgia out?
Georgia's out.
Is LSU out?
LSU's out.
All right. So LSU and Georgia are out. So we have that established. And there's less undefeateds comparatively to the rest of the crowd nowadays.
And okay. I got an idea for number 10.
Number 10.
It's a Texas team, but it's not named the Longhorns. Are you with me on this? I think Texas Tech deserves a top 10 being 4-0 and probably the best team in the Big 12.
Yeah, they didn't play last week, but they're the beneficiary of having the last big win. They haven't lost yet. I have no problem putting them here at 10.
And that would mean we're keeping Texas out of the top 10 for the second week in a row on our Russo and Rizzo power ranking top 10.
Haven't done anything. That's fine. Until proven otherwise, I am not putting Texas anywhere near that top 10.
So number 10, we're going with Texas Tech. And next is
number 9.
I think I'm going to roll Indiana. I'll listen to Indiana or Alabama here personally. I think Bama needs to be in our top 10 after that big win against Georgia. Where are you leaning? I'm leaning more Indiana because I think the SEC comparatively has been better than the Big Ten this year, and that's coming from Big Ten Mike.
Why is Indiana above Penn State or below Penn State? What reason other than
Indiana does have the better win.
Preconceived thought. They beat Iowa at Iowa, too.
Indiana does have the better win.
They have Illinois, and they beat Iowa at Iowa.
Hold on here. Do we put Georgia here instead of Penn State, then? If we are, do you keep Penn State in the top 10? I think I'll listen to Georgia being in the top 10 because they beat Tennessee. Why is Penn State in
you
the
bring
top 10?
You bring up a good point.
And I'm Big Ten Mike. I want Penn State to be good. And Christian knows that. Penn State grab behind the glass. But
I have no problem with that, actually.
After looking at it on the paper, there is no reason Penn State should be in
the
top 10, right?
Neither of those two teams. Georgia was in the game, quote unquote, but they were not in the game.
But they have that big win at Tennessee, and I think Tennessee is better than anything Penn State has beaten this
year. I can listen to that. I could put them at 9.
So we will put the Bulldogs
number 9
at number 9, and that moves us on to number 8.
Number 8.
All right. Indiana or Alabama? Indiana or Alabama?
I
because Indiana beat Illinois.
That Florida State loss is worse now, too.
It's so funny. That's why I love doing these power rankings.
I think you put Alabama here.
Okay, but listen, quickly. That's why I love doing these power rankings because everything changes. When these teams start playing teams, you start playing conference games, everything starts to change.
We might change our mind when Indiana plays a great team and they lose, but that's fine. But they played two good teams and they've won, so I could give them that.
The game I'm looking at for them is at Penn State. That's going to be one of their bigger games they got to play all year is at Penn State. And I think it's going to be a big game for Penn State, too. It's a chance to beat a top 10 opponent.
And they have and a fellow in conference State opponent. Back-to-back weeks.
Right. So, number eight, we'll go with...
I think you go Alabama, you go Indiana.
Because of the undefeated. All right, so eight, we'll go Alabama. And number seven, we'll put the Hoosiers here.
And I'm only putting the Hoosiers here. We might both agree that if they played Alabama, they'd probably lose. But I'm thinking about they're undefeated.
Yeah.
They're undefeated. I know Iowa had them up against the ropes. But I sit here and say they have two good wins in the Big Ten. That should be worthy enough of a good ranking. No bad losses.
None.
That I value the resume here. Alabama can change things if they get another good win against Vanderbilt. But Indiana's also got a pretty good schedule, too. Until proven otherwise, I think you keep Indiana where they are.
Dude,
And I can't knock them for almost losing to Iowa at Iowa because Iowa's the biggest trap game in the history of trap games.
They dumb things down. They make it slow, especially on the road.
Always a tough environment.
That is very tough.
This goes Indiana at eight and Alabama at seven.
Six.
And now number six. Who do you... I think you could put any of these SEC teams here in A&M, Oklahoma, or Ole Miss.
I think Oklahoma's odd man out because no quarterback.
So Oklahoma at six.
Yes.
That moves us to number five. I agree, by the way. I'm putting...
Ole Miss or A&M.
Which win was more impressive to you? At home against LSU or at home against Michigan? That's what we got to decide here.
Because Michigan, we already put Oklahoma at six. So you're talking about Michigan because of the Oklahoma win?
Notre Dame.
The LSU win.
Correct.
Now, Ole Miss already, keep in mind, they have three SEC wins already. So that means something. They have three SEC wins already. And A&M, on the other hand, who has that win at Notre Dame, which looks good, by the way, they beat Auburn, and that's it. So they only have one SEC win comparatively. Now, I personally value the road environment. So I could see putting Ole Miss here instead of A&M. But I do think eye test, Ole Miss is the better team at their best.
Who would you take? Marcel Reed or?
Or Trinidad Chambliss? And the thing is, like, Ole Miss has got two quarterbacks. You don't know who they're going to start. I think you put Ole Miss here.
Okay, so Ole Miss number at five.
And I think because winning at Notre Dame, I don't care if they got two losses. That's a tough game. And just ask Arkansas, who, by the way, took Ole Miss down to the ropes. Ask them how they feel about Notre Dame, losing 51-13 at home. So I can't necessarily... I'm okay with Ole Miss being a top five team, but I'm not... I think I'd keep A&M right where they are.
Okay.
Number four.
Four. So we put Ole Miss at five.
And A&M at four.
Four is A&M. Now we're into the meat and potatoes.
Number three.
This is where...
Ohio State, Miami, and Oregon. How do you do it?
I put Oregon three still. I do. I put Oregon 3, Miami 2, and I think Ohio State winning
try
on the
to,
road.
Try to make sense of this to me.
Ohio State.
I don't even think you're going to believe what you're about to say.
I am. So Oregon is 3. They won on the road at Penn State. I put Miami 2 because I think Miami comparatively still has the better wins with Notre Dame, USF.
Hold on.
And company.
Hold on. We were firmly Ohio State last week at 3.
They proved that they could win in a tough environment on the road.
They were at 3 last week. And I understand, Miami didn't play.
Saying played good.
I can listen to Miami didn't play. But Oregon beat Penn State at Penn State. I don't think you put Oregon at 1, but I don't think you put Ohio State at 1.
Hear me out. Julian saying their questions were about the quarterback, tough road environment. Kyle, it was a game at halftime. It was a game at halftime in Washington.
That's not good.
And then the Buckeyes scored four.
Mike, that's not good.
And then Ryan Day, being the elite college football coach that he is, the Buckeyes scored.
You're not winning this.
Buckeyes scored four straight times on four straight possessions in the second half to bury Washington. It's the best defense in the country too. Avril Reese is the best linebacker in the country.
Ohio State's 3.
Number 3.
All right, so number 2, are we going to go with Oregon or are we going to go with Miami? I still think Miami's number 1.
I'm fine with that. Okay. Only right, that so one big win comparatively to the multiple big wins that Miami
has. You're dead wrong about Ohio State, but number two.
Your team put
and then number 1. Hang on, let's finish. Our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage, folks. Our number 1 is
number 1.
The Miami Hurricanes, to my displeasure of my Buckeyes being at 3. I think Washington's better than you think.
fine. Penn State is better than
Washington. I think they're going to be a ranked team at the end of the country.
Fine.
At the end of the country. At the end of the year.
Penn State. I don't care how bad we think Penn State is. They still won in that godforsaken whiteout game, which they never win in.
If we can, and by the way, that was our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. And folks, if you're moving soon, you got to call my good friend Spiro over at Good Greek for your total relocation solution. From packing and storage to local and long-distant moves, Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage has you covered from start to finish. Trusted by families, businesses, sports teams, like those Hurricanes who were
number one
on our power rankings, and the Miami Heat, where Christian Catt and Dio Dorsey just had media day at. For over two decades, Good Greek has been making things simple, so make your next move simple, safe, and stress-free. The world's only total relocation company, Good Greek Moving and Storage. I am going to be going through the Spiro Superhero Safety School coming up here soon. Be on the lookout for that. But that is our good friends, Good Greek Moving and Storage, folks. The best when it comes to moving. But yeah, the Miami Hurricanes, number one.
You can't argue this.
I could argue it, but it's okay. When the Buckeyes win back-to-back national championships, you know, we'll come back to this. Quickly, I wanted to circle, before we put a bow on this, I wanted to circle the Penn State.
We're going to hear this with the Guardians tomorrow. No, we're not.
We're
going to hear this tomorrow.
Teams are 12-0 after losing game one. The Guards are dusted. Christian, I know you had a lot of things going on over the weekend. You were at the almost comeback for the Ryder Cup. You were home in New York, but did you get to watch much of the Penn State game? I was able to watch the whole game, and I just, like, here we are. I root for Drew Aller, as you know, because he's from the town over from where I grew up. I want Penn State to be good at being a Big Ten guy, but, like, Christian, I cannot make excuses anymore. I can't do it anymore.
You guys are totally wrong by omitting them from the Google Removing and Storage CFP top 10. That goes without saying. If you are going to debate whether or not Oregon could be possibly the top team in the country, losing to that top team in the country in overtime, I think that's a pretty good job done by Penn State. That's better than any of their wins.
They were out of the game for 3.5 quarters. They were out of the game. They were out of the game.
That does not matter. They were even with them at the end of regulation.
Christian, you can't lose that game. You know what James Franklin is against top five opponents? He's 1-15.
Not good.
No.
Well, I'm not saying Penn State's a top five team.
And Christian, Colin and I, we had a pretty good discussion Friday. And to his credit, I didn't give enough context for what I was trying to explain. I said that game for Franklin against Oregon was the biggest of his career because he doesn't have that victory against top five teams. Like, until he could get that off of his back, every single top five game they play is the biggest game of that cat's career. And are you over it? Like, as a Penn State guy, are you over it? Over James Franklin? Are you over the lack of wins against top-tier teams? Because there's been a lot of talk about Franklin and Penn State fans possibly having enough.
You being a Ravens fan is very fitting.
Yeah, I think it makes sense.
Yeah. It's the same team.
Yeah, you're kind of exactly right. You guys have Indiana where in your power rankings?
Six.
All right. Well, Penn State's a 16-point favorite
number
against
seven.
Indiana. When
I'm
that
pretty
comes
sure
around
Indiana was seven, but neither here nor there.
Something like that.
Neither here nor there. Losing to a possible number one team in the country, definitive number two team in the country, Oregon, at home. It's tough. It happens. You are choosing to risk taking steps back in order to heighten your ceiling.
Ask Wisconsin about that.
That's what they did, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what they did.
Correct. Got rid of Chris.
How does it look now?
Yeah, got rid of Chris. Too.
Now, they have some loyalty to Franklin because Franklin brought them back. And
no, that, he didn't.
Yeah. O'Brien.
No, Billy yeah. Bill O'Brien brought him back.
He made them a perennial, though. He did.
Perennial.
Whatever they are.
Yeah.
A perennial Raven.
Well, hang on. 16.
They are the best non-title contender. I think that's it.
2016 was a great year where, sadly, Penn State didn't. They deserved it that year because Ohio State got bamboozled by Clemson. That was like the 33-0 game, Christian.
Yeah.
And that was the year where Penn State didn't get to go to the playoff. But regardless, like, I like what, and we had these conversations when I was gung-ho when the Buckeyes lost to Michigan about getting rid of Day. Like, brother, who are you getting? You know, and that stuck with me when you asked me that. I didn't have an answer for you. And I think we don't have an answer for Penn State if you get rid of Franklin either.
That's
who
fine.
Are you going to get?
I just think Penn State should be nowhere near top fives ever. ever again.
Until they beat an Ohio State on the road.
I'd even argue a top 10. I mean, I there are not many top 10 teams that I could find that have never had a big win.
It's just the lack of offense to me,
yeah,
Christian.
But see,
is crazy.
Colin, you're using your own logic against you because you're talking about this season, not reputation going past.
That's true. And this season, they've done nothing other than play competitively in a game at home against a team that they could have beaten, but mostly got outplayed. Actually, completely got outplayed in the game.
But that's doing something. Playing the number two team in the country to overtime is doing something. I agree with
that's
you
fine.
That they shouldn't have been ranked inside the top 10 before losing to Oregon. I think they did nothing beating FCS foes. Like, I don't care if you beat Villanova at all. But I do care if you were one bounce here, one bounce there, away from beating Oregon.
They got it completely outplayed in the game. They did. And I agree. They had a great final two drives. They struck first in overtime. There's something to that. But I just, it's, this is what Penn, and you're right. I'm trying to grade the team I'm watching. And the team I'm watching, that team wasn't any good. Team wasn't, Aller's not a great quarterback. And offensively, they couldn't get anything going. Oregon might be really good. Oregon might be great. But you sit here and you're thinking, watching the game when it's 3-3 and they got 3 points through the third quarter, you're not sitting here thinking, well, boy, Oregon's defense is really shutting them down. You're thinking Penn State's offense stinks.
And we've been saying that for a couple of years now when it comes to playing good opponents. I go back to the national championship where Drew Aller threw the game away, and that's becoming his staple. It kills me to say it. Kids from Edina. But it kills me to say it. His staple is that end-of-the-game interception now. I don't know what the hell happened. I thought him coming back for his senior year was going to make things better for Penn State this year. He learned. He went to a semifinal last year. They were a play away from going to a national title game. And here we are. He's the reason you're losing these games.
Now, here's my logic. We have, what, two teams with one loss in the rankings? We have Alabama and Georgia.
Correct.
Who have not only played each other, Alabama has the win over one of them. Georgia's got the win over another team top 20.
Top 15.
Penn State has none of that. They have none of that. So that's why you make the argument that those teams get the one loss adds. We have Texas out, so we're fair there. And Penn State's the other one that's out. So I value the undefeateds at this point because we now finally have some conference play to actually look at. Maybe we're wrong about Texas Tech, and Texas Tech stinks. But you win 34-10 at Utah. I don't care how bad you think Utah is. That's a convincing win to begin with.
It is. And I think they're the best team in their respected conference, and they're undefeated. They deserve some respect.
You put 2 1-loss teams in there, and yes, we're probably taking Brandon into consideration.
Correct.
But Alabama's got a mighty impressive win at Georgia, and Georgia's got a mighty impressive win at Tennessee. That should mean something in my book. That should mean something.
Well, I told you the spread of looking down to November 8th. It's a while from now, but that's the Penn State-Indiana game, which is AP rankings, 7 Penn State, 8 Indiana.
Right.
A week before that, that's Penn State-Ohio State in Columbus. Ohio State at home are 4-point favorites. Mm-hmm. That's it. At home. You would think Ohio State, which Mike's making an argument for the number one team in the country.
Well, they are according to the AP.
Incorrectly.
They are. Yes. They are according to the AP poll, but on our Roots on Rizzo poll. On our Roots on Rizzo poll presented by...
Mike was ready to bury them at 6 last week.
And now
this week is, they beat Washington. We got to put them...
On our Roots on Rizzo poll presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage, they are apparently...
Number 3.
Which I can't fathom, but...
Good Greek might need a refund of the validity of this poll.
I think the winning... The win against Washington was impressive for a number of reasons for the Buckeyes, but I will concede.
I'm saying Penn State's only a 4-point dog on the road.
Listen, the defense is unbelievable.
We're ranking
in true fashion, Penn State's defense is unbelievable.
We're ranking teams, not head coaches and quarterbacks. Head coach and quarterback.
Also ranking resumes. Eye test comes into it. They think Penn State's actually a good team. Fine. Penn State can show me that they're a good team by beating good teams. All right. And I agree. Win or loss, it's not black and white. There's something to that. I agree. They were home in that game and they didn't play well on the eye test. They didn't look good on the eye test. They played for 3 drives. It was an overtime drive and the final 2 offensive drives of the game. Other than that, they did nothing in the game. So I understand what you're saying. Because clearly somebody thinks that Penn State, the Vegas lines, and they wouldn't screw around with that. They think they're pretty good. Because 4-point at Ohio State, first of all, I would take Ohio State in a second. But second of all, clearly they're pretty good. But they're at 11. That's a comfy position for a team that doesn't...
You didn't definitively put them there. Are they at 11? That's the unofficial...
That's probably the first team out.
Let me give you a big voice. Number 11.
They're probably first team out, right? That's fine.
Number 11.
I do understand your argument. I do think there's sound arguments both ways.
And they're not going to be able to do anything to prove
until
yourself otherwise.
Yeah, until Ohio State.
So,
yeah.
So what does Ohio State have to do to be
number one
in your eyes? Remember, everyone, like the thing I hate right now is that before the Texas game, oh, the Buckeyes don't have a chance. They're going to get smoked at home. And then we win the game. And Christian, now
we should play back the segment from last Tuesday because Mike was ready to bury this team at around 8 or 9 saying we're going to lose to Washington.
I didn't say we were going to lose to Washington. I just said they had a lot to prove. And I think in a game which they were down at halftime and made adjustments at halftime and scored on 4 straight possessions, and the freshman quarterback threw for 202 yards, 2 touchdowns, no turnovers. All right, you got a fifth year and Drew Aller throwing interceptions, Kyle, against Oregon at home, for God's sakes. This guy's on the road for the first time, and he has a hell of a game. That's all I'm saying. And the defense is the best in the country.
Oregon's got Indiana coming up in 2 weeks. So there's another good opportunity for Oregon to take that one spot. Obviously, Miami's got Florida State.
I'm going to prove a damn thing by beating Indiana.
Fine. Ohio State beating Minnesota this week on NBC Peacock.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's not going to do it
for me. Oh, I can't wait.
It's not going to do it for me. You know that? I too bad.
Hang on, Sloopy.
I can't listen. Fine. You scheduled Texas. You beat Texas. Congratulations. That team stinks.
Are we sure they didn't even play an SEC game?
Now they're good again.
They didn't even play an SEC game.
Now they're good. Now they're good because Mike wants them number one.
No, I just want, like,
they're good.
Everyone said how great they are, and then we win the game, and now they stink. Okay. All right.
They're not that good. We know that.
We'll see. Won 22 home games in a row before.
Grambling in Ohio and then beat Washington on the road. Good win. No doubt. Tough. Conference road games are tough to win.
And they covered the spread, by the way.
How about conference road games against a team that is our 11th in the AP, in our Russo-Rizzo poll?
Christian, last stat. Ryan Day 50-1 against unranked opponents.
Isn't that wonderful?
I don't think that's anything for you.
It's pretty good, dude.
You know, let's check James Franklin's record against unranked opponents.
The only team Day can't beat is Michigan right now. That's the fact of the matter.
It doesn't bother you, though.
It bothers the hell out of me, but you get what I'm saying, you know? And with the 12-team playoff, you kind of, you know, just swallow your pride and hope this year is the year.
Mike, maybe mid-November we'll get Ohio State back into the fold.
That's ridiculous. They're the number one team in the country, according to everyone but you.
Last week, though. How you're switching here. I don't like
Washington is going to be a ranked team by year's end.
All right. Let's hope. Watch them lose next week to, you know, Rutgers.
Godforsaken State, as I call them.
Whoever they play. Matthew Boyd, Cubs are already into the bullpen. They got a 2-1 lead, top 7. They've been bouncing around here with the ball going to deep left. Okay, we're good there. 2-1 for the Cubs. We'll get into the baseball. Who we think are going to be our Fall Classic champions, the big winners, big losers of this postseason. Aaron Judge, big game with him and the Red Sox tonight. Is this the season that he finally gets that monkey off his back into the postseason? We'll get into that and more on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. You've been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys are the type to fight for you. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best in the business. Demand Anajar and Levine now. All takes one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control of the Anajar and Levine. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. If you missed any of the show today, go listen back on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, all those great places. Just go to Russo and Rizzo, streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X as well. You can watch us on ESPN West Palm. Well, we're in the thick of the MLB postseason today, and it's funny. Because Mike's already down and out on the Cleveland Guardians, who lost their first game to the Detroit Tigers, Game 1, at home, 2-1. And they had an opportunity there with man on third, no outs. And J-Ram got thrown out on a little blooper to the pitcher. Bad base running there. But ultimately, the Guardians, they pitched well. They defended fairly well. I mean, they had a bad first inning getting in the first run. Well, but
hang on. It was an error by J-Rod. Right.
And it kind of just spiraled from there. But point being, you give up 2 runs in that spot, and a lot of times you sign up for that, and you're okay with that. Their offense did not show up. Tarik Skubal mowed them down.
Right.
And Mike's ready to call it quits. And you make all that big run, and your season lasts a grand total of 48 hours longer than everybody else.
It sucks. It's like that's... For those of you that aren't aware, I am from the city of Cleveland, and it's just like my dad and I were texting. It's so Cleveland to do all this, to make the playoffs, to defy the odds, to, you know, beat Detroit in the Central, and then what do you get? Oh, you get an AL Central banner, and you lose two games to the team that you upset in the 162-game season. Baseball can be cruel like that, and I thought baseball was cruel today when Skubal left the game. You have a chance to tie the game. You have a man on third.
Bottom of the ninth, no outs.
Man on third, no outs, and he doesn't score. You pinch it for Valera, pinch hits, he strikes out. Oh, okay. You know, Manzardo put a ball in the air. Nope. He does a chopper, and Jose has bad base running, runs home. You can hardly blame a guy who had 30 home runs, 85 RBIs, and 45 stolen bases. So excuse me if I'm not going to get on Jose Ramirez's case.
Yeah, it's bad base running, but yeah, you're right.
It is. But Skubal, 14 Ks, and like, I got kicked out of three group chats today. How about that? Again, I'm getting thrown out of group chats because I got Cleveland fan getting all angry with me. This is what you wanted. You wanted Tarik Skubal and the Tigers. Here they are.
Yeah, good news.
You're not
playing them tomorrow.
Give me the stat, Colin. Give me the stat.
Teams that won game one of the wildcard series since the expanded format in 2022, 12-0.
And you're telling me the Cleveland big keyword?
If there's a team that could blow it, Detroit is on that list.
Big keyword? Cleveland? You're telling me we're winning two games straight? Brother, it's over. The momentum's gone. The mojo's gone. The magic's gone. I'm that guy right now. I don't see a way back in. And that stat haunts me. I cannot believe. Can you double check? Can you double check?
Mike,
you checked it?
Fox Sports MLB.
You checked it? Did they fact check themselves?
We'll see. Because I'm thinking about last year. The Mets won game one, and then the Brewers won game two. They had all the momentum going into game three. They even had the lead. And then Pete Alonso had the homer in the ninth. So, I mean, it happened in the top of the ninth over Devin Williams.
I know you're getting on my case for doomsday, and how can you blame me? This is what my city does. This is what we do. It stinks. And now I'm watching a great game between the Cubs and the Padres, and I can't enjoy it because I'm all pissed off.
How about this? Mason Miller in the bottom of the seventh, too.
So they're desperate.
They're
desperate.
Trying to stay alive
you
here.
You think they think game one's important? You think the Padres think game one's important?
Mason Miller in the seventh inning, and the Cubs, it's turned into a bullpen game. This is going to be a very gritty series. I'm very excited to see that. I am hoping for the Cubs. Because I do want to see a divisional Craig Counsell return against Milwaukee. I want to see that.
It's probably a take people will want to hear, but I think the Cubs being in the playoffs is good for baseball. It's good for baseball to have that team in the playoffs.
We don't need the Padres again.
Maybe there's bias there because I covered the team for 3 years in Peoria. I'd much rather see the Cubs than the Padres.
And you got an excellent game tonight. 6:08 first pitch, Crochet versus Fried on ESPN. Red Sox, Yankees.
Christian and Colin, that's must-watch TV.
Must.
That's like television that you gush, you're foaming over. You're foaming over that, man.
6 o'clock the next 3 days. Yeah, you're looking forward to that. Now, tell me this. Aaron Judge, 53 homers, best hitting season probably all around of his career, give or take. And in terms of on base, he's slugging the ball. He's batting averages up. He hit all the notes, but Aaron Judge still has that blemish on his career and I bring up him specifically because he's probably the reason if the Yankees win or lose, he will be a big component whether they do win or lose. What's your sort of temperature on him at this point?
His numbers are bad in the playoffs.
Terrible.
To the point where our program director and boss, Brian Rowitz, goes, I can't believe how bad they were. We've debated this on the show numerous times.
Here's the thing. He is one run away, and the AL is that open away that they are good enough to win the pennant if he plays. It's not even asking him to elevate. You know Stanton's going to elevate. You know they're going to have good postseason players. Ben Rice is playing well right now, but... if he plays like the player he is, normally, that team is probably going to win the American League.
Correct. They're going to represent the American
League.
And
they're not even asking him to do something crazy. They're asking him to be 85% of the player he usually is.
Colin, this year in baseball, I thought last year the Dodgers were the best team, bar none. I thought they were the best team. I thought they were going to win the championship last year, and lo and behold, they, had a gentleman sweep against the Yankees, swept the Yankees?
Yeah, 1-5.
So, I don't think that team is in baseball this year. It could be Philadelphia. Maybe I'm wrong. It could be Philadelphia, but Philly's got to prove that they could, and I know they went to World Series in 23, but you get what I'm saying.
None of those teams are as bulletproof as they were last year.
Right, and that's why if you're the Yankees, and my point, folks, is if you're the Yankees and you get the Judge, the MVP candidate, who, Kyle, what has he done this year since who? And Mickey, doing things since the great Mickey Mantle.
Okay, he's the third batter ever to win the batting title, which he did, and have 50-plus homers, and he's the only batter in MLB history to have 53.
If you get that guy, you're probably going to go to the World Series and have a chance to win it, because I don't think there's the bulletproof team this year.
Yeah, he could change every game. If he plays well and they start to have to pitch around him and get nervous about him in a postseason spot because he's hitting so well, it's going to open up everybody else.
I think the Yankees starting pitching is better this year. I think the bullpen, maybe outside of Williams, you know, you're hanging on for dear life with Devin Williams.
The pitching, the bullpen's better. I agree with that.
But you got a guy like Fried. I don't think last year you had a Fried. I know Cole, but...
Fried is great. It's the everybody else that makes it. They got no Cortez to deal with, which is nice. But, you know, they're going to rely on some young guys and Rodon again. And Rodon in a big spot, you never know. But you're agreed. Right. You're right. Their bullpen, I think, is much
and
better
than last year. And they're deeper in the lineup because they were able to go out and spend and not give Juan Soto all that money. So I really think it's must-watch TV with the Yankees. Number one for Aaron Judge, but also...
I got a feeling this is going to be his postseason. I do.
I hope you're right. And listen,
maybe not
Christian
getting that
knows,
MVP or being on the outside looking in on that MVP will motivate him. I don't know. Maybe just something will click.
Christian's our New Yorker of the show. He loves the Yankees. He knows I have no love for the Yankees being a Cleveland guy. But Christian, I'm hoping Judge could get that off his back because I do like Judge as a player. Yeah. I got to be honest. I really like Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I'm watching hype up tapes to try to fire this guy up. I need to see vintage Aaron Judge, who also happened to hit massive home runs, one or two, against the Guardians last year in the ALCS.
Big time. Him and Soto.
His complete numbers were not very good in last year's postseason, but he had a couple of moments in last year's postseason.
We were just waiting for him to, it's like, oh my, we're here. Finally, he's woken up. And then he kind of just has his ups and downs, ebbs and flows.
And postseason baseball, different animal. But the Yankees were kind of playing to get a bye for the past 2 weeks. And Judge played very well. And Judge hit a lot of home runs. And Judge made that AL MVP race a true race, counteracting how Cal Raleigh has gone nuclear as well. So it's the right time. And you know what? By not winning the division, the bats might stay hot for the New York Yankees by having to play, be it a formidable foe, a rival foe,
and two straight staffs that he knows and is used to.
Yeah. So watch out for Aaron Judge. Maybe bet that home run for Aaron Judge on Hard Rock Bet.
Tonight?
Consider it. Yeah. Huh? I can see it happen in the first inning.
Yeah, I got a feeling about it. You know, he's 34 years old. He hasn't necessarily had a big moment in the postseason. Yeah, he had a couple home runs game four of the World Series. And the Guardian series. But ultimately, he has not been a reliable hitter. It was Soto and Stanton last year, and you're sort of just waiting for Judge to wake up. Now, Stanton in October is an elite player, so I'm not necessarily too worried about him. But if you get all of a sudden Stanton and Judge both hot at the same time, that Yankee team's going to be tough to beat. I don't care if they finish off the season with the Royals, the White Sox, or the Rockies. I mean, if they get any sliver of what Aaron Judge could be, I think that's number one. The thing that's going to bring them at least to the AL pennant, probably won't win the whole thing, but get them back to the World Series. But on top of that, Aaron Judge is probably that superstar, the sole superstar, who is a postseason performance away. You can make an argument for Clayton Kershaw, but a true postseason performance run away from Mount Rushmore-ing himself. You know, you're thinking about guys, the other great Yankees ahead of him, when he has had better primes than a lot of great Yankees. He's not in the Mantle, DiMaggio's and all those levels, but, you know, if Jeter's a great postseason player, the Yogi Berras of the world, Judge is near that. And Judge does not have the postseason success to back up just how good of a peak he is having. We're in the midst of maybe one of the best right-handed hitters ever right now, and he is at the peak of his powers, yet he has nothing to show for it. I'm not saying he needs to win a ring. It's not about winning a ring. It kind of is for the Yankees, but it's about having a great postseason for him. I think one will lead to the other. So I'm very curious to see on how Aaron Judge specifically and that Yankee, because I think once if he plays well, that offense will open up. And the Red Sox are hurt now because they don't have Giolito, who has elbow issues. Something to monitor there. We'll get into the rest of the slate as we move forward. Make our official picks for the World Series official predictions on the other side alongside the 5 and 5. That's all to come. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.